Swamistui, Flucha Bethlehem. Atschanti kutunt elmihum. Swamistui, quis chauenti. Swamistui, quis chauenti. Swamistui, quis chauenti. Caelmihum. Unau coolen sutan. Tillen waste at Sahui. O seeds. Cool till pach pachak stichabis. O now kalau kewichdom squusses. Swami stwequis chawenti. Swami stwequis chawenti. Swamistui quis chauenti caelmihum. Estuc il supulau flu il huihue ulcit usuet iopiot quesamist hul kempele. Et cheta keslach sowe utax chaminchis. Swamistui quis chauenti. Swamistui quis chauenti. Swamistui quis chauenti.
I have Little Town of Bethlehem in here. You want to do that one too? Silent Night. I'm going to explain a little bit more in a few minutes why language, and I want to tell you a story in just a little bit. But first, I just want to say how cool it is to be back here and seeing some of the elders, some of the folks that have been here for a while. Some of the memories. I graduated from Riverside. I came back, and this place still hired me as a youth pastor. I remember saying that too, and Al Herman, she's like, well, he was on the school board at the time. He's like, well, why would you say something like that? I mean, it's like, I don't know, Riverside back then. Now I work a lot for Newport, so but don't hold that against me. But all the years, I'd like to tell a story I have. Is Miss Eleanor some close by? Miss Eleanor, I don't know if you remember this, but in 2 days, my middle daughter turns 21. And I think you were the first person to hold her in this church. And right back there where Ms. Diane is sitting, I think. The memories that I have here, all of you, I'm just really glad to be here. I can't tell you how many times my daughter was Mary. That was a different daughter in the school, in the play here. So we had a lot of good times here. It was good for us to go do what we're doing now. It's also really good to come back and say hello and give an update and a report. For those who know our children, I don't know how old they are. There's one that's living over on the coast. He's in his 30s. My youngest one is 16. I know that. He's still at home, and he's a sophomore. And then I've got three daughters in between. One is going to school in Spokane. One's in Pullman. One's in Moscow. So it's like, I don't know, one thing after another, it seems like. This place is very, very close to our hearts. So what I give to you today, I give to you with a good heart. I say thank you for your support. Thank you for all of your love. I want to give you today, I thought about it a long time, about what I wanted to do, and I was telling a friend that I had a sermon prepared all in language. But my translator, in fact, that's what I should say, a lot of my family are sick and aren't with me today, so one of my translators is gone. So I thought I would just do the passage in the scripture in John chapter 3 in a few minutes in language. In Isaiah chapter 43, I'm going to read a couple of verses. It says in verse 6, and this is God speaking, "I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." I think about the glory of God, and I think about what that means. And I think about the fact that God says, from the people from the north and the people from the south, I'm calling these people to be my people. And that really makes me excited. That God is so active, the active agent in the work that's being done. The glory of God, he says, "I created this for my glory." The glory of God is His wisdom and His strength and His goodness. It's His loving kindness. It's His perfection. But when we think about the glory of God, it's like the overarching sum of all of the parts of who He is. And it's incredible. We sang about the glory of God today. It's incredible that He chooses to share that with us and display that through us. That makes me ponder a lot of things. It said in Isaiah 43, verse 7, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory." That means to me that your son and your daughter were created for God's glory. And your grandfather and your grandmother and your ancestors and those the one to come behind you were created for His glory. That means that every Muslim and every meth addict was created for God's glory. And it really warms my heart to hear the good works that are being done for people here. Keep up the good work. That's great. I think about Buddhists. I think about bartenders. I think about every single person that God created in mankind was to display His glory. That's fascinating. That stuff, that's really big. And then a little bit later in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 20, it says, "The wild beasts will honor me." I love to be outside in nature. This is pretty cool. "The jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth, bring forth into singing. O mountains, O forests, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and He will be glorified in Israel." I think about that. And I think about the fact that when God redeems Jacob, the mountains rejoice. Is that cool? When God redeemed Israel and Jacob, all the beasts in the fields were like, "Yeah, this is good stuff." And I think it's the same way today. The mountains and the skies praise God. And that reminds me of Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 and all the good things that were taking place in creation before the fall. What a marvelous theology there is in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Thinking about nature, thinking about the rivers, thinking about what God has created. The word God in the language is... there's different words. I'm going to give you a couple of them. One is Kulin Sutin. Kulin Sutin is probably the most common word for God in the language. And it comes from the one who makes. Not the creator, but the one who makes. The word for creator is Chieple. And both of those words were used in the song that we sang just a little bit earlier. And then there's one more word for God that's really cool that we use less often, but it's an important one. It's Amatken. Amatken. And it literally is translated as the one who sits on high. And sometimes when I draw a picture of myself, my life, I draw a picture of a mountain and I draw a chair on top of it. For the one who sits on high, because He's the one who created these mountains and He's designed them to rejoice when people come to know His Son. To me, that's incredibly cool. You probably don't know this. I'll give just a quick introduction of myself. I've left working here, and I joined North America Indian Ministries, and then I'm still working there, and I started working for the Kalispell Tribe of Indians. Probably the coolest people I've ever met. I've never been around a group of people that were as kind-hearted and open to a person. So don't ever think I've had a bad day, because I haven't. I work as a language teacher. About 5 years ago, the guy who's my supervisor now said that I could come in and I could learn the language. And I thought, no, that's something that I'd be super interested in. There's no math, right? No science. I mean, it's almost like being a pastor. You go to Greek and Hebrew, and it's just kidding. I had to take science in college too. And he said, but the thing is, we would like for you to kind of like stick around for 5 years or something if we make the investment in you. So no guarantees of a job, nothing like that. I reminded him about 3 or 4 months ago that my 5 years are done. I've paid all my dues. But they still want to keep me. I don't know why. So we started teaching language. I went through the language course. It's usually about 18 months. We go 7 hours, from 7 to 12 every day, take lunch, and then go from about 1 to 5 every day doing homework. And been teaching 2nd through 6th graders, and then we started teaching adults. And then 3 years ago, we started an immersion school. It's called Sinyo Yos Pa'usam, which kind of translates into the place of the strong heart. And what we did was we said, we want our children to get the best education, so we're going to take them out of school, and we're going to put them into school. And that sounds contradictory. I'm sorry. I know there's teachers in here, and I'm not being facetious. I'm actually a teacher now, too, strangely enough. And what we wanted to say is that when you take people away from their language, you take them away for who they really are and their identity. We wanted our kids to learn who they are in the language, and we want to do it using the Common Core standards. No, that's not true. We have to use the Common Core standards to do what we're doing, but we want to, if that makes sense. So our kids come to school every day, and they learn math, science, literacy, and we only teach them in Salish. So when they take their tests in the spring, they're going to have to be able to pass tests in English, but they're learning it in Salish. And guess who's the math teacher? How cruel is this? So, yeah, I teach 2nd, 3rd, and 4th grade math, and I do it in Kalispell. And that'll keep your brain young. And that's what I want to do, because that's what the need is. I've tried other things, I've done other things, but this is where I'm beneficial to the tribe. And luckily enough for me, I'm super interested in it. And as I get to know more and more about the language and more about the people, the more the Old Testament makes sense to me. The mountains rejoice when Israel is redeemed. It's not just Israel, though, right? Because it's for you and I. Today, we are saved by God's grace for His glory. And all who trust in Him then have that responsibility to glorify Him in all that we do, all that we eat, and all that we drink. 1 Corinthians. And in 1 John it says, trusting God is at the heart of loving Him and living for His glory. In 1 John 5 it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has faith has been born of God and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So God saves us, we trust Him, and we've got this cycle of glory going on. And being thankful, Psalm 100. I remember Diane and Lorene's mom sitting right about here with Miss Eleanor, and we were talking about being Thanksgiving, and she jumped up and ran up here and was so thankful that morning. I don't know if you remember that. And I thought, the elders are the ones who teach us. They're the ones who come up front and tell us what we need to hear. And that's exactly what she did. With this in Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His, and we are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. And why not? He's the one who's done it all. Giving thanks to Him is the most natural thing and the most natural way to glorify God. But He says in Psalm 100 that we are the sheep of His pasture. Did you hear anybody else say something like that? In John chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus said, I have other sheep. This is the most tremendously good news that we can find. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. What great news we have that Jesus is out roaming looking for sheep. He's out there looking so that He can glorify His Father in heaven by displaying Himself through us. And now that's the Christmas message. To me, that's the gospel. That's the Christmas message. Tuamistui. All you guys, come on over. Quis chawenti. Let's go and pray. Ke omihum to our chief. That's fantastic news. I'm going to read to you from John chapter 3. So if you want to follow along, you can. So while you're turning there, I want to tell you a quick story. Do you guys remember our buddy Ormel Ogden? He lived across the street over here. He was a pretty interesting guy, wasn't he? I remember going over and talking to him. I talk about Ormel all the time because Ormel paved the way for me. Because Ormel, now correct me if I'm wrong, where's Gary? Is he around? Okay. If I'm not mistaken, Ormel Ogden started learning biblical Greek when he was in his 80s. So he would come over. Now here's this guy who's just out of seminary, and I'm here, and he's talking to me, and he's asking me how this parses in Greek. And so we're sitting down and talking about it. And he had a hard time breathing, right? He had a failing heart. But his mind and his eyes were alert in the language. So I loved going over there. I wish I would have spent more time across the street with Ormel. One day, I was talking to him. And he said, you know something, Todd? Because we used to talk about, he had a love for native people as well. And I can't remember where it came from. Somebody could remind me. But he told me about it. He says, you know, when I was living here, there were times that there would be Indian people. And they would just camp across the creek from him. Is that a creek or is that a stream? What do you guys call this right here? The river. Oh. Up where I come from, we have real rivers. Across the river from Ormel's house, he said he would wake up sometimes and all of a sudden there'd be a lodge set up. And they would be there for a while, a day or two, and pretty soon they would be gone. And he never knew when they would come. He never knew when they would go. They didn't come over and talk to him. They just set up camp here and kept going. So as I moved up into Kalispell country, I started finding some of the different routes that they traveled. And they would actually, somebody was talking to me today about Sachin Lake. They came behind Sachin Lake, behind Horseshoe Lake. The trail came down through here. And they would come into this spot. And this would be one of the last places that they would camp before they got to the North Division Hill. Back in the old days, that was where the outside camp of Spokane was. They would camp on that side of the hill, and the women would stay in camp, and the men would go all the way down into the falls to do business and come back out through this way. So I was talking to an elder about that, and I said, you know what? I had a friend a while back. I used to work at this church down there. And he used to tell me that right across the creek from this place, people would camp. He goes, my aunt was born there. Kalispell people have been being born in your homeland for a long time. How long have you lived here? There's some families that go quite a ways back, right? I mean, your family goes back 20 years. I ask this question when I go different places, and I've got, especially young people, they love to tell me how their great-great-grandmother came from Sweden. I've heard this one, and settled in the area. And I say, okay, that goes back, what, 120 years, 150 years? I don't even know. But when we talk about the Kalispell people, they've lived here since time immemorial. If you ask a Kalispell person or a Spokane person who lives in this area how long they've lived here, they'll go, forever. Forever. So the language that we're sharing today is the language of the land. The language that you're singing in the hymn is what was spoken since time immemorial. And so when I read these verses, I'm going to read out of John chapter 3. Imagine 1,000 years ago, or whenever, I don't know. I'm not dating the earth. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just kind of saying that when we think about time and we think about language, we kind of have our own ideas of what that sounds like. And the people who've lived here forever have their own way of saying it. I want to say thank you to Ormel for sharing that with me. I can't wait to find a picture of my elder whose auntie was born over here. That's the next thing that I've been really working on, but I'm not going to go on a side trail. You almost got me. I'm not doing it. John chapter 3. You may know this. You may want to follow along, or you may just want to listen. I'm going to go 1 through 18. And I won't tell you where the verses break, okay? I'm just going to read it. Accept this, I hope, as you will, as a gift, a Christmas gift for you. The gift of language for our host people. It says this, Chinak silmi hum shutil suip in chait echen es austum nikotim. Skuets uch huimis lu jesu kuli tuis. Mi in suten es mi stumt util kulen suten ukutsuhui necheli tat sowetten cox achelum to anui lu elas kulst. Luneta ap shiapele, flute kulun sutin. Quil quen hutsitin to Yezukli. Flu il unel quia sunum. She uta el school. She tax in ush il kulun sutin, il sin sietin. El suntum to inko team. Il chin m es he sluchinox, flu popohot, ne es school. Hanem es in ur su il sinks siltis m skuis m es kul suis ti jesu kli. Quiet sunum, fluneta ques kul te selwik uta sint pracht m she tax kontel fluks in ursui il kunsuten siltis. Flustem es kul sus te skelch she skelch. Flustem es kul til silpacht, sheis pacht. Tax di helsmens tu, flutzutzen kesh kul nel. Flutes bach pacht es chupelsum, fluche in u entels. U aselnes nem stem, flust chupelschis. U takes mi stem, til chin u keks chiust mils, uch tachlus, uche chin. U.S. Taklus. Es ja, U.S. es heil, flu kul til spach pach. Kul hin, quin chutzis te nikotimu zuis. Il chin im et heil lihe. Zuis te Jesu kli. An ui kusuk mi meim, uta es mi stelch lihe. Kui es unelchum, ke es chkul queltum, flu kes mi stem. Quies maestem flu in instant flu as which den utaques nun un hue. She flu me maestem flu te estem ye est uliu utaques nun huenemens tu. Uel chen met chest em she maestem flu kulun suten un cox nun huenement tu. Et chest moi ish es il ch ulel. In Wiesel schlu Luke es chial chlu hue ulau. Il sheim chin et chet nemko in Wiesel schlu netze we mko nun huenemis mshe tax o osti. Nem es quil huilt te es penchtum. And now here's the verse 16. Nechli schlu te kulun suten schlu chaminchis schlu skeliu. U huichults flu il chinox says tas kuls flusku says kwelpums fluskelu upen kwil wiltums flusuwe flunanun huenemis mshe tax chwepula flusuwet mtax nun huenemis e swis chwepula nashli tas nun huenemis. So all who believe belong to God for His glory. To me, that is the Christmas message. I want to say a special thank you for all of the prayers and all of the support, all of the kindness that we've received from all of you over the course of time. And moving into the future, I want to say thank you for investing in the lives of other people, because you're doing the work of God's glory around the world. And if you ever get out in the woods, listen, because you're going to hear a lot of rejoicing out there as well. Lum lum. Yep.
His song is getting ready to close us up here, but Bill let me know that it looks like a mini stroke for Bob, and he's doing better. Is that right? All right, so good. Seems to be doing well. And, yeah, thank you. They took him to Holy Family to check things out, so you can continue to pray for Bob. So.